The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the introit for this Sunday, which is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Because our Lord rose from the dead on the first day of the week, every Sunday of the year, also the Sundays in Lent, is a day of joy. And that is especially true of this fourth Sunday in Lent. In fact, in ancient times, the word rejoice was the very first word of the divine service on this Sunday, because in ancient times there was no prelude, no opening hymn, no confession of sins. The liturgy began with what we today call the introit, which is the entrance chant. The entrance chant on this Sunday began with the word rejoice, just as we heard it just a few moments ago. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. And those words were followed by the words of the 122nd Psalm, which the Jewish pilgrims sang on their way to celebrate the great festivals of the Jewish year in Jerusalem. The words, I was glad when they said unto me, we will go into the house of the Lord. And we hear that note of joy not only in the entrance chant, we also hear the note of joy in the chief hymn for this Sunday, which we just sang. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in. We know this hymn as Jesus' priceless treasure. But when we look at the original German text of this hymn, we see that the opening words literally say, Jesus, my joy. Jesus, my joy. Yes, it is the note of joy that marks this fourth Sunday in Lent, as we come ever closer to the glad feast of the Lord's resurrection. In the gospel for this day we read, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. And Passover was the greatest festival of the Jewish year, when God's Old Testament people rejoiced in their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. But great as that deliverance from slavery in Egypt was, it only foreshadowed and pointed forward to the deliverance of the whole world, not from slavery in Egypt, but from the tyranny of sin and death and the devil. When Jesus, the true Passover lamb, offered himself for the redemption of the whole world and then rose from the dead, as we'll sing at Easter, the day of resurrection, earth tell it out abroad, the Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. The note of joy is there in the gospel read on this mid-Lent Sunday, when we hear of how the Lord Jesus provided lavishly, for the hunger of thousands, so lavishly, in fact, that after the 5,000 had eaten, his disciples gathered up 12 baskets full of what remained after those hungry people had eaten their fill. Yes, the note of joy is surely there, just as it is in our Lord's first miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, when he supplied more wine than was even needed for the happy completion of a young couple's marriage feast. Both that provision of wine for a wedding and that provision of bread for the 5,000 were miracles of the Savior's compassion and of his always generous love. Yet, as C.S. Lewis says, of both these miracles, here God come in the flesh does close and small under human hands, a workman's hands, what he's always doing in the ordinary way of seed time and harvest, lavishly providing for his children day by day. And 300 years before C.S. Lewis said that, another pious Christian had this to say: all that is done in us, around us, and by us conceals the action of God. If we could pierce the veil, God would show himself to us without ceasing, and we should realize his actions in all that happens to us. To each thing we should say, it is the Lord. And we should find that in every circumstance we have received a gift from God. We should consider all creatures as feeble tools in the hand of an all-powerful craftsman, and should easily recognize that we lack nothing, and that God's continued care gives us at each moment what is best for us. In his gospel, St. John calls Jesus' miracles signs. Signs that point to who Jesus is and what God is doing through him. After the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, when preaching in the synagogue at Capernaum, Jesus unfolds the meaning of this sign. In providing bread for thousands, he points to himself as the living bread come down from heaven. Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And so in giving bread to the 5,000, Jesus points to himself as the living bread come down from heaven. And he points to the mystery of that holy sacrament he would institute on the night when he was betrayed, so that just as God's ancient people, Israel, were miraculously fed through all their wilderness wanderings, just so God's New Testament people would be fed with heavenly food in our journey through the wilderness of this world to the heavenly fatherland. In the ancient church, the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood was called the Holy Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. And the celebration of the Holy Eucharist is the completely natural expression of joy in our risen Lord, celebrated at 100,000 altars every Lord's Day, every Sunday. As Sunday, the day of resurrection, returns week after week, until we finally join the risen Lord, the holy angels, and all his saints in life at that heavenly feast of love and joy that shall have no end. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.